The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org. On today's show, we're going to hear representatives of the nations of Costa Rica, Australia, and the Czech Republic, talking about drug policy, both international scale and nationally. But first, folks may not know it, I do some public speaking occasionally. I'll speak to classes, I'll speak to civic groups, heck, I'll talk to anybody who'll stand still long enough. Did a presentation recently at a psych class. There was one part I wanted to share with you folks now. I was asked about harm reduction and the possibility of harm reduction policies moving forward in this current climate.
We have made so much progress in harm reduction. Thank you, by the way. Excellent. This is an important topic, and it's a little off marijuana. Kind of. Marijuana is, in a sense, harm reduction. Where you have legal marijuana, medical marijuana, certainly, people have been able to taper back on their opioid prescriptions, on their antidepressants prescriptions, on their sleeping remedy prescriptions. All these drugs that combined can actually be dangerous. They've been able to cut back on prescribing numbers in states which have legal medical marijuana and legal marijuana, and the number of ODs has actually been decreasing. In a sense, marijuana legalization is harm reduction. Harm reduction means just what it says on the tin, reducing the harms, managing the risks. I mean, that makes sense, right? If you know that people can get sick and die because they're sharing a needle, then let them get needles. In this state, needles are available from pharmacies without a prescription. But, you know, that used to be really radical. Nowadays, more and more states are doing that. More and more states are looking at taking away some of the laws about, just the residue remaining in a syringe being possession. That's one of the things that stops people from going to the exchanges. More and more needle exchanges. We've actually flattened in the last few years. But now we've got to push for supervised injection facilities. There is an underground facility operating in the United States. It's been researched and studied. And San Francisco hopes to open up one in the next few months. Although we've taken a step back in this administration, in the last administration, the Harm Reduction Coalition held its conference in 2012 here in Portland, Oregon, and the drug czar of the United States, Gil Kerlikowske, sent a videotaped message, which I think is still on the harm reduction site. It had been federal policy that harm reduction was a taboo phrase. If your grant proposal, if your research project had the words harm reduction in it, you could guarantee it was not going to be funded. And you were going to be put on a list because they didn't like that stuff. It's like when the CDC couldn't do it. The thing is, this was an unofficial, very, very serious. Harm reduction is not something we're doing. And for a long time, while people were dying of AIDS, we wouldn't talk about harm reduction. Under Obama, Gil Kerlikowske spoke in 2012. In 2014, Botticelli. God, how do you forget a name like that? Michael Botticelli in 2014 actually went to the harm reduction conference and spoke in person. He came out of the treatment field, and he's a former alcoholic. He's recovering alcoholic himself. He has an understanding of harm reduction and of the sort of person-centered, non-stigma kind of approach. We've been pushing for this stuff for a long time, and it's really just starting to get some traction. It's like with marijuana legalization. I started in 83, right? There were two people in the United States receiving medical marijuana in 1983, and that was it. When I was at Normal, the third person, I worked at Normal in 87, 88, 89, into 90. The third person was approved. And then there was a pipeline started. There were going to be a bunch more. And that's when Bush cut off the program. But that's why Dennis made Proposition P happen in San Francisco, which then turned into Prop 215 in California, which made medical marijuana happen. Because you don't tell a yippie that he can't do something just because it's against the law. Hey, opened up the first compassion clubs and then made pot for medical purposes legal in California. And that's when all that stuff started. It's all because people were tired of doing what the law said. It's like with harm reduction. Some of these syringe exchanges are illegal. Some of, in Multnomah County, We have a county syringe exchange, as well as outside in, providing clean syringes to people. In some places, those things are illegal, but they still operate. Supervised injection center, the one that operates in this country, is illegal. But people do it. I mean, there's a principle about the greater good. And by operating these services, by providing these things, you're saving lives. That is the definition of the greater good. Following the law, then these people die. They get sick and they die. If you break the law, you save them. Those are things that shouldn't even be questions, right? And so that's why, so yeah, your question? I think we're going to make a lot more progress. We saw the rebirth of drug legalization, of marijuana legalization, held the entire drug policy reform movement because of Reagan and the idiocy that his administration was pushing down our throats. With this guy, this guy's the limit. The guy's the limit. We'll have prescription heroin in 8 years. This is going to be, yeah, why not? It, methadone maintenance works. Buprenorphine works. We know that heroin maintenance works. In every country where it's been established, it works. In Switzerland, it's on your national insurance. Well, and on the private insurance. Insurance, they're forced to cover it. It's brilliant stuff.
That was me speaking at a class at a college campus recently. We were talking about drugs and drug policy, and, well, the presentation itself was on social justice and drug policy reform. If you're interested in having me to your campus, to your civic group, to your church group, all you need to do is get in touch with me through the drugtruth.net website or through drugwarfacts.org, or you can reach me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. Now on with the rest of the show. The Commission on Narcotic Drugs held its 61st annual session in March of this year. Delegations from nations all around the world spoke about drug policy. Some spoke about human rights and the need to respect them. Some talked about their national policies of decriminalizing drug use. We're going to hear from some of the more progressive countries in the world right now. First, let's hear the representative from the Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic is next. Mr. Jindřich Vobril.
Of the Secretariat of the Government Council for Drug and Policy Coordination, Executive Vice Chair of the Government Council for Drug and Policy Coordination of the Czech Republic. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I would like to thank the Secretariat of the UNODC for their hard work in preparing this CND meeting. I also want to stress that the Czech Republic is fully aligned with the statements of the European Union. Dear Excellencies, dear delegates, as we have already mentioned in previous years in our statements, it is obvious that the overdose death of many HIV/AIDS and hepatitis C epidemics spread among millions of people in prison cells, as well as some destabilized countries, finally call to open and critical review of the outcomes of the global war on drugs and the reasons why it is often failing. It is only up to us who have the knowledge to choose not to ignore that. We must push vigorously to accept the scientific evidence and set more realistic aims and concrete public health-based policies. It is our responsibility to accept the evidence that is clearly leading us towards less repressive policies and not verbally declare the so-called balanced approach and focus more on preventative measures and treatment. We are obliged to ensure that people who suffer from problem drug use are encouraged to come forward and ask for help early enough without being stigmatized. Our policies must be based on public health perspective rather than on punishment. This is the reason why we in Czech Republic decriminalize the possession of small amount of illegal drugs for personal use. Thank you. Furthermore, we must look at policy coherence between licit and illicit drugs. In this regard, we should learn our lessons from alcohol and especially tobacco policies that show a significant success in many countries, unlike with illegal drugs. The Czech Republic encourages member states to research an open international debate to further develop drug policies that integrate both licit and illicit substances. We currently have evidence to determine that what we are facing is not a problem of addiction on different types of drugs, but single problem of addictive behavior. The legal and illegal drugs world is not separated, and we know that in term of addictive behavior, it only often shifts from one addiction to another. The evidence from many countries also suggests how much underage smoking and drinking alcohol influences illegal drug taking and vice versa. The drug policies of Czech Republic is not perfect, but we do believe, and our numbers support it, that we are going in the right direction. The principles of public health strategy have led to a significant reduction of harm in prevalence of hepatitis C, HIV infection amongst injecting drug users, and managing overdoses per year. Prisons are not overcrowded because of our decriminalization policy, and organized crime has not influence or means to corrupt politicians, court, or police. Therefore, and in line with the EU policy, we call on all member states to ensure that drug policies are in full conformity with the principles of human rights, and we fully support the proportionate sentencing for drug-related offenses and promotion of alternatives to imprisonment and coercive sanctions. We strongly condemn extrajudicial killings as an unacceptable tool for law enforcement and disagree with death penalty for drug-related crimes. Unfortunately, not long after we all signed the UNGAS outcome document in 2016, we saw many people being murdered without a trial. It is very apparent that such policies are in full breach of basic human rights principles. Such doings can bring the international consensus to a risk of failing in near future. Furthermore, in the Czech Republic, the Czech Republic urges not to pull back from a critical evaluation of 2009 action plan and the political declaration. Let us all accept our responsibility for what we are failing in and draw realistic policy based on recently agreed outcome document of the UNGAS 2016. In this regard, we want to call for a new global policy based on realistic goal of minimizing harms and risks. We also call and strongly encourage and believe in such stronger involvement of all relevant UN agencies such as WHO, UNAIDS, UNDP, as well as civil society in all decisions-making processes. Last but not least, we would like to stress that since we are all signed the UNGAS document 2016 in New York, it should actually mean in real politics to redraft concrete budgets and focus on help rather than punishment and achieving realistic goals on harm minimization rather than unachievable zero tolerance. Ladies and gentlemen, it is evident that we are at a crossroad and have to allow the truth to be spoken, as many analytics or some analytics say that the international drug control system might fall apart soon if the evidence internationally available continues to be ignored. We want to believe that we will make the right decisions in this regard and relieve the globe from the unnecessary suffering of many. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attention.
That was a delegate from the Czech Republic speaking at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs 61st Annual Session in Vienna, Austria, in March 2018. Again, you're listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. This next speaker we're going to hear from is the delegate from Australia.
The distinguished representative of Australia, Dr. Lisa Studert.
Population Health and Sport Division at the Department of Health of the Australian Government. Tiene la palabra.
I call on you, Madam, and welcome.
Madam Chair, Honourable Ministers, ladies and gentlemen, Australia is pleased to again participate in this important forum. Australia was honoured to have been re-elected to the Commission last year and looks forward to continuing a valuable and productive dialogue on combating the world drug problem with all member states, the United Nations agencies and civil society. We will continue to focus on promoting an integrated and balanced health and law enforcement approach in our response to illicit drugs, an approach clearly reflected in Australia's new 10-year national drug strategy that was finalised in 2017 and committed to by all Australian governments at the national, state and territory levels. The strategy recognises that law enforcement approaches are vital to reducing supply. Critical to this aspect of our policy are partnerships, such as Australia's Law Enforcement International Engagement Methamphetamine Disruption Strategy, which aims to disrupt the supply and demand of methamphetamine and its precursors in Australia through international cooperation. Equally, we emphasise the importance of sound prevention strategies and expanded access to evidence-based treatment must be part of an effective response. Australia's National ICE Action Strategy has been an example of this emphasis and balanced approach in recent years. The National Drug Strategy also recognises the importance of attention to specific groups in our populations. Consistent with this, Australia has put forward a resolution for consideration at the 61st session of the CND on recognising the needs of vulnerable populations of society in enabling a comprehensive and effective response. While whole-of-population strategies can reduce the adverse impact of illicit drug use, evidence tells us there are specific population groups that are particularly vulnerable. This is a critical area that deserves more attention. The resolution builds on the operational recommendations on cross-cutting issues in the 2016 UNGAS document, including drugs and human rights, youth, children, women and communities. It is also consistent with the INCB's 2017 report and with Sustainable Development Goals 1 and 10 on vulnerable populations, social inclusion and access to services and the underlying principle of the 2030 agenda of leaving no one behind. We look forward to working with Member States through the course of this session on this resolution and with other resolutions to ensure a productive outcome to our work here. Australia remains concerned that 75% of the world's population live in countries where citizens have inadequate access to effective treatments for pain. This is unacceptable in a time when we have the knowledge to support systems that can enable controlled, safe and effective access to citizens when they most need it. We firmly believe access can be expanded while maintaining the integrity of the conventions, which clearly state the goal of protecting the health and welfare of mankind. Australia continues to support the work of the UNODC, the WHO, and the Union for International Cancer Control to assist countries to develop robust systems that ensure access for medicinal and scientific purposes while reducing the risk of diversion for illegal use. To underline our ongoing support, Australia is pleased to announce that we are committing a further $100,000 to the Joint Global Program to roll out Phase 3 of the pilot program. Australia has also been pleased to support the INCB's Successful Learning Project, which is assisting countries to improve estimate systems consistent with the International Drug Control Conventions. In 2017, Australia funded a training seminar in Oceania, which was attended by 19 representatives from 10 states and countries and territories. As a member of the CND and the UN Human Rights Council, Australia is committed to ensuring the human rights dimension of the world drug problem as set out in the UNGAS outcome document. Australia considers that law enforcement efforts are best focused on disrupting the serious and organised criminal groups that drive the drug trade. minor or non-violent drug-related crimes demand a proportionate response. Over many years, Australia has found diversion to treatment and rehabilitation to be far more effective in reducing repeat offences and reducing harm to individuals and communities. Australia strongly supports the commitment of states at UNGAS to proportionate national sentencing and to consider alternatives to conviction. Legal guarantees and due process safeguards must be upheld for all individuals, including drug users, in line with the obligations of states under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Extrajudicial killings of drug users is a clear violation of the right to life set out in that covenant. Australia will continue to press for the abolition of the death penalty in all circumstances. We believe the death penalty is an inhumane and irreversible form of punishment and completely ineffective in deterring drug use. Australia remains committed to moving forward in implementing the UNGAS outcome document and modalities for the review of the 2009 political declaration and plan of action in 2019. Furthermore, in preparing for the high-level segment in 2019, we call on all members to enhance engagement with academia and civil society to inform our work for the better. To this end, we must also ensure our preparations for next year enable meaningful participation by civil society in that event. In conclusion, we remain encouraged by the commitment of member states to engage and contribute to this global effort to address the world drug problem and look forward to the sharing and cooperation which characterises our important work here at the 61st CND. Thank you.
That was the Australian delegate at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs 61st Annual Session in March. Now we'll hear from the delegate from Costa Rica.
I'm pleased to invite the distinguished representative of Costa Rica, Her Excellency Ambassador Pilar Saborío de Rocafort, the permanent representative of Costa Rica to the United Nations office in Vienna, to take the floor. Madam?
Muchas gracias, señora Presidente.
Thank you so much, Madam Chairperson, for allowing me to take the floor. For Costa Rica, it is indeed an honour to see you preside over the deliberations of this commission. In view of your tried and tested negotiating skills, we are certain that under your wise guidance, we will be able to make headway in our discussions in a constructive manner and in an environment both respectful and courteous on a problem which concerns all. Furthermore, our delegation is grateful yet again to the Secretariat for the support provided in preparing for this session. We endorse the statements made by the group of 77 plus China and, of course, GRULAC, and our national capacity. We would like to make the following points. Madam Chairperson, despite the difficulties that are involved in our attempts to reach a global consensus on the world drug problem, Costa Rica does welcome the agreements most recently attained in 2016 in the context of UNGAS, which was devoted to this topic. Though polemical and long drawn out, we were able to demystify some of the topics that surround drug dependence. In our opinion, it's of great significance to do this in order to devise and implement national strategies that are consistent with our obligations under international law and the Agenda 2030 on Sustainable Development. From this viewpoint, we're gratified to note the work performed by the office over the past year, together with many other stakeholders in the broader context of transnational organized crime, for the purposes of coming to grips with the world problem as they relate to other offenses such as the laundering of assets and the funding of terrorism. We're fully aware of the harrowing scale of illicit trafficking in narcotic drugs. And this is why the CND must draw on the major amount of available resources to perform its duties. To that end, the office must continue to build bridges between the countries, the regional organizations, the agencies, funds, and programs of the United Nations system that are already implementing, in keeping with their respective mandates, those initiatives that are linked to the issue of drugs, especially because we're up against ever more sophisticated crime profiles. Madam Chairperson, the post-UNGAS 2016 phase requires implementation. We have a broad international legal framework and a series of operational recommendations that have to do with public health, human rights, and law enforcement, which, in our opinion, let us take action on the basis of minimum requirements. This being the case, the framework, in addition to guiding us, must, at the domestic level, lead countries to engage in periodic review exercises to see whether the policies and laws we are applying and how we assess their impact are best suited to address drug-related issues set in a broader context. In Costa Rica, we have full-fledged decriminalization of drug consumption, and this has helped us bolster policies for prevention and care. At this point in time, we are addressing diversification and access to all social and health services with harm reduction steps included. This will help us overcome the paradigm of illness and addiction, which emphasizes stigma and may, in fact, breach the human rights of drug users. Likewise, our public administrations ought to provide for resources to stimulate and bolster new developments into research in narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances in order to solidify our scientific evidence in unexplored areas. UNODC has a very important part to play in this regard. Often for countries, as is the case for Costa Rica, technical assistance is a prerequisite for those ends. Finally, we should not like to miss out this occasion to reiterate that Costa Rica is a staunch opponent of capital punishment in all circumstances. As for drug-related offences, there is no evidence whatsoever that the death sentence or extrajudicial executions act as a deterrent to crime, and even less so to the use of narcotic and psychotropic substances. This type of punishment is at variance with the spirit and letter of international legal instruments in the area of narcotic drugs and human rights, and may therefore under no circumstances be considered either legal or legitimate. Thank you, Madam.
That was the Costa Rican delegate speaking at the Commission on Narcotic Drugs' 61st annual meetings, which were held in Vienna, Austria in early March. That's it for this week. I want to thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The executive producer of the Drug Truth Network is Dean Becker. Drug Truth Network programs are available by podcast. The URLs to subscribe are on the network homepage at drugtruth.net. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh and also at Drug Policy Facts. The Drug Truth Network has a Facebook page. Please give its page a like. Drug War Facts has a Facebook page, too. Please give it a like and share it with friends. Remember, knowledge is power. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news about drug policy reform and the drug war. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.